On the hills behind Jericho, no sooner had the shepherd spoken than an answering bleat shivered over the herd, and one or two of the animals turned their heads in his direction. But they did not obey him. The herd gave a laughing kind of whinny. Immediately, a goat with a bell around his neck stopped eating, and leaving the herd, trotted down the hill, across the valley, and up the opposite slope. The man, accompanied by this animal, walked on, and also disappeared around a rock ledge. Very soon, a panic spread among the herd. They forgot to eat. They looked up for their shepherd. He was nowhere to be found. They became conscious that the leader with the bell at his neck was no longer with them. They were alone. And then from the distance came that strange laughing call of the shepherd. And at the sound of it, the entire herd stampeded into the hollow and leapt up the hill after him. Today, on this fourth Sunday in Easter, known as Good Shepherd Sunday, we give pause and wonderment to the frequently used words and images coming from both the Old and the New Testament scriptures of sheep and shepherd in connection with God and us, his beloved created order. Now, many of these illustrations, I feel, are lost in us, in our culture, because they don't necessarily teach shepherding as a life skill in high school or middle school. I don't think they're doing that, are they yet, Helena? No. They're not teaching shepherding. They're not teaching shepherding. It's simply non-existent in our culture, right? And maybe if there's a few places where sheep are kept in this country, they are most likely for one purpose, for their lovely chops, to feed our bellies. But in Palestine, sheep are kept for a most different reason. They are kept for their milk and for their wool. And they actually end up living very long lives, long enough that the shepherd actually will name his sheep, not as we do our cats and dogs, like with Gracie and Shirley and Bob. No offense to anyone named that in this place. But they look at the sheep and they say, well, spots, well, you're spotty. Or, oh, you have a black leg, you're black leg. Or you're brown leg, or you're stripes, or you're pure white. And they respond to the shepherd's call. And for this reason, it's very fitting that Jesus uses the analogy of sheep and shepherd in relation to us and him in our gospel lesson, saying the sheep follow their shepherd because they recognize his voice, showing that there is a true and developed relationship between sheep and shepherd. And brothers and sisters, this is exactly what God wants for all of us. For we do have the ability, the actual ability and calling to likewise have a real and developed relationship with the God of this world. For true life, life eternal, is not based on good works or a crapshoot or a reward or is a self-discovered in a book. It is through the relationship with God of trust, of obedience, of grace, of genuine salvific belief in Jesus, who is the gate, who is our Lord and our God, the great shepherd of the sheep, by which we are saved. Now, recognizing that there are some disadvantages of being equated with sheep, like sheep are smelly, sheep aren't that bright, they are pretty fragile, they are naturally defenseless, they are susceptible to parasites, they must be continually watched, otherwise they're getting into trouble. And you know what? They all need glasses. They're short-sighted. They can only see about 6 feet in front of them. But, beloved, there are also some advantages of being sheep. They tend to stick together. They are quick-growing and multiply easily, and sheep can be trained to obey. And because of these endearing qualities, I invite us to further ponder a few ways that we can strengthen and refine our own relationship with our Lord and our God, who is our good shepherd. And first of all, we start by listening. Some of us have trouble with this. Listening. We need to listen to Jesus. Sheep like to wander. That's why they need to be continually watched. We like to wander too, don't we? We wander away from God, away from his ways, thinking that our way is the best way. Like sheep, we don't often do it on purpose. We just get caught up in the many things that we're doing. Sometimes we get so caught up, though, in the busyness of life that we forget to whom it is that we are actually supposed to be following in this life. And we end up wandering further and further and further away from our shepherd, forgetting to whom we actually belong. The thing about the relationship between shepherd and sheep is that a watchful shepherd will watch his sheep, and when they get too far away, he'll call them back. As we stated already, shepherds have names for their sheep, and our God knows each and every one of our names. They know his voice. When he calls, they come and follow. And beloved, it's that simple for each one of us as well. First and foremost, needing to listen to Jesus. The truth is often he's calling, but we're not listening. Or we don't recognize his voice very well because we've never taken the time to listen, to train ourselves to listen to his voice. Putting into practice, sitting and praying, sitting and reading, sitting and just as the psalmist says, being still, knowing that I'm God. And I have trouble with this too, y'all. I'm not a good sitter. But we have to practice it, to sit. Three times, sit, sit, sit. Sit and pray, sit and read, sit and be still. For being in a right relationship with Jesus, our good shepherd, means that we actually take time to listen to him. Make time to be with him. Not just once in a while, or when we're having a bad day, or when we're having a good day, but habitually, we're called to do this. Second, we need to flee from harm, and we see this in our gospel lesson, where Jesus says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Sheep seem to have this built-in voice detector. They know the voice of their master. If they hear a voice that's not actually their shepherd's, the sheep will actually run from the stranger. And we kind of have this too, don't we? I mean, who knows? You give a little whistle in the grocery store, and you know whose whistle that is. Or with little ones, I'm amazed that that little Hannah Ray can recognize my voice when she doesn't even see me. It's amazing. We have this. We can hear this too. But Jesus warns us of thieves whose only purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Likewise, in an address to the Ephesian elders, recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, St. Paul warns the church leader, saying, after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So what? So be on your guard. If we practice listening to Jesus through prayer, through study, through sitting, through reading his word, we will be able to decipher between the voice of the good shepherd and those of strangers who approach us only with self-serving interest, with deception, with half-truths. For being in a right relationship with Jesus, our good shepherd, means that we need to be on our guard and flee from strangers who may deliberately or even unknowingly lead us away from the truth of God. Now, realizing that some of you may still be stuck in the beginning thinking about being equated with a smelly, not-so-bright sheep, this is the good part. This is the fun part. We get into the third piece. But still, most of us want to be that lovely, fearsome lion or equated with that beautiful, faithful black stallion. But you know what? Jesus used sheep, and he used sheep for this purpose. In the Middle East, Christians have survived persecution and trials of many kinds under extreme pressures, mainly because, number three, they stick together. They stick together, which is hard to think about in a church that is so divisive. And really, Christianity that's very divisive, isn't it? But sheep stick together. In Palestine, it has been recognized that a Christian family and friends provide a strong bond in adversity, just like sheep. They eat meals together. They share together, doing plenty of talking, expressing, and discussing. They spend time together making visiting one another a priority in their lives. They show solidarity with one another. They have fun together, recreating together, playing games together. If you've never come to one of our beach sunset picnics, come. We play games together and we sing together, right, Father Joe? Fabulous time. They take care of one another in practical ways of baking, of gift giving, and they participate in worship together. Now, praise the Lord. One of the many things that makes this church an amazing church is that we are doing many of these things, all of these things. It's just if we're participating or not. But I look around and I see these things happening all through St. John's. It's a lovely place, but we must add into that. We must join in to that. Be a joiner. What my friend says, be a joiner. Praise the Lord that we are doing all these things. Sheep stick together, and being in a right relationship with Jesus, our good shepherd, means that we need to stay together, supporting, guiding, helping, loving one another as one body with Christ as our head. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Sheep need their shepherd for guidance, for watchfulness, for safety, for life. The shepherd and his sheep have a beautifully bonded relationship. And the good news today, folks, is that we are able and called to be in this amazing relationship with the God of this world and his son, our good shepherd, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But that means that we must, number one, take the time, better yet, make the time. In our life, we need to make the time. Because you know what? If we had 26 hours in the day, we'd fill those other hours up with other things, wouldn't we? For sure. So we need to make the time. I'm speaking very much to myself as well, y'all. We need to make the time to sit with our Lord, to pray with our Lord, to study the things that he's said. Number two, to run from strangers and those who only want to do us harm, leading us away from God and his ways. They're out there. Satan's prowling around looking for someone to devour. Let's not be us. Number three, most important, we need to stay together. So, beloved, this means we need to get a little neighborly with one another. How long have you been sitting in that pew? There are many other pews, many other sheep to get to know. I invited the 5 o'clockers last night to come back today to get to any 5 o'clockers back today. I don't see them. All right. Well, so some of our 10 o'clockers need to go to the 5 o'clock. All right. So we are one parish, and I think we forget this sometimes. We are one parish, and we all are sheep, and we need to stick together. So branch out a little bit. Sit in a new place. Get to know some of the other sheep of St. John's. Go to a different service. Get to know the sheep there. And help to support, to love, to help one another as intended, being the body of Christ, living in the kingdom of God, and blessing others out of our blessedness, that the flock would continue to grow and expand in the world around us to God's greater glory. So, if you haven't heard anything, hear this. Don't be a goat. Be a sheep. And what do sheep say? Amen.